On this week's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, all you West Virginia Mountaineer fans out there are guaranteed to get a question right today, and while all you dubstep fans are guaranteed to be disappointed.
Much like I am with all these puns.
Rude, Michael, but fair. And if you don't want to get disappointed and you don't want to listen to our voices, you can get the We Don't Know Either book. WeDon'tKnowEither.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. It has puzzle, picture, fill-in-the-blank rounds, our questions that get harder as you go within the round. It's all there so you can host your own trivia night even.
Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 359 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
All right, first, Michael, we got to start out and give a special shout out to Chris.
I don't know about that.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris. You made my day the other week because you were very nice to me and just talked about your love of trivia specifically and also the podcast. You also told me not to tell Michael how you thought his facts were not as great as my facts.
I'm coming for you, Chris.
Which I obviously told him immediately the next time that I saw him.
You first sent it via message, then you sent him an email, and then you told him in person.
Yes.
So you made sure to rub it in.
She also texted me my personal number at a certain point as well.
Yeah, so not only did you give me great joy by complimenting me, period, but you got to give me double joy by insulting somebody else.
Yeah,
so.
And by the way, Chris, if you think we're talking about a different Chris, we're not. We are talking about you.
Yes, very much so.
Yes. So Michael actually spent a lot of time researching and finding his fact because he wants to impress you, because who doesn't?
Pens were not bundled because of this fact.
Mm-hmm. You see what you're doing? You're getting involved with my operations, Chris. Now you're on my bad list.
I joke. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Okay. So, Michael, why don't you kick us off with your fact, and let's see if Chris is impressed.
Okay. So pretty straight down the middle question.
Oh.
What was the first, make sure I get this right, first major studio film to be dubbed in Navajo?
The first major studio film to be dubbed in Navajo.
Yes.
I always repeat the question because then I can process the words in which you're saying.
Is that it, or are you just stalling for time?
Oh, 100% stalling.
Yeah.
I thought that was very clear.
Yeah.
Everybody here knows what dubbing means, yes?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Wait, I know what it's supposed to mean. Is that like a thing now for you youths? That it means something that I don't think it means?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Where does the stepping become involved?
That's, yes. No. Skrillex is awful.
I was talking about dubstep.
Dubstep. Okay, sorry.
Stay with me.
Wait, why am I apologizing?
Dubbing.
Lindsay should absolutely be apologizing for that one.
Dubbing is when you do that thing with your hands. Yeah.
That's dabbing, I believe.
Yeah, you got to drink because he's clearly over-explaining something that we all should know.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you want to know what film. This is a motion picture release, right?
Yes.
You're not telling if this is live action or animated or computer. You don't know?
I can tell you it's a live action movie.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I have a guess, but I don't know. I don't know why I have this guess.
I can give you one more hint as well.
Okay, sure.
Do you want the hint now, or you want to make your guess first?
I think I want to make my guess first.
Okay.
So I don't know a lot about Avatar's production, but I do know that they did a lot of research into tribes, and I believe somewhere in the back of my brain, Navajo specifically. Uh-huh. I don't know why that is there. But
sure.
I remember something, reading something. And if there's one thing we learned about trivia, it's to blindly guess and go with your gut.
Yes.
So I'm going to say Avatar.
That actually, you know what's funny? I went in literally two completely different directions with this. That was absolutely one of the directions I went. I was going to say Endgame.
Ooh, okay.
Just because billion-dollar movie, big an audience as possible, do whatever you can do in order to get more money out of it. Like, that would be one of those things that they were so close to breaking the record of Avatar that they're like, well, let's dub it Navajo and stick it wherever we can to get a couple extra bucks here and there.
Yeah, no, I just like Googled Avatar real quick just to make sure. I was like, okay, am I going to sound like an idiot? And it's true, I am, because the Navi are the people, and I think that my brain was like, Navi,
oh, Navajo.
Navajo.
Right. I can tell you this, they definitely didn't dub the movie in Navi.
Yeah, that's a difficult language. Okay, sorry. So anyway, give me your hint.
You were both incorrect.
My other direction.
Sure.
I hadn't actually locked in my guess, so you know, screw that other one. There was the Code Talkers movie. Nicolas Cage, where they did like a secret message transfer in the Navajo language?
Wind Talkers, I think.
Wind Talkers,
yes.
Okay. I think that was Navajo, although it may have been a different Indian tribe, but I think the premise of the movie...
You are correct. It is, it's a Navajo code talker being used to, so the Marines can send messages to each other. That was the premise of the movie.
Okay, so I did get that right. So that would be my second direction of thought, and that's the one that I'm going to lock in with.
All right.
Okay, so you're locking in?
Yep.
All right, so give us your hint, Michael.
Okay, that was also incorrect for you, Nick.
Oh,
The next one I wanted to guess was Dances with Wolves, but I know that they're the Sioux and I think, what was it, the Pawnee tribe, I think? I don't remember.
It's been a while. So
but I don't think it's Navajo, but I felt like that would be another one that would be dubbed.
Right. Is it a movie about the Native American peoples?
It is not.
It is not.
Okay.
Okay. Is it a giant big budget movie?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds not confident,
even
remotely.
No, not is it a big dollar-making movie?
Yes.
Okay. You have any other... What are the big...
What were your other hints, Michael?
My hint was it happened in 2013.
2013. Biggest however, movies in 2013.
However, uh-huh. It was not a 2013 movie.
Al. What was the 2012... Biggest movies of 2012.
Yeah. Huh.
It was not within 10 years of 2013.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's like a classic. Maybe it's like a...
A classic movie that made a ton of money.
Like maybe it's a Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah.
Like a re-release for a Star Wars.
2012, that updated edition of A New Hope. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is. It was a joint collaboration with Lucasfilms, who gave their stamp, obviously, to do it. With the, and I want to make sure I get this, the Navajo Nation Museum.
It's a joint collaboration, just like our answer was.
Yeah, I know. Nick and I, we did actually high five because we were really excited.
But it's really interesting. So NPR actually did a quick story on it, and it was really interesting because it's a family that lives on the Navajo Reservation in Arizona. I believe it was Arizona. I'm sorry, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay.
And they're trying to teach Navajo to their children.
Oh.
But, you know, they mentioned, look, like Rosetta Stone's fine. There's an app. There's other alternatives. But anything we can use to help.
Oh.
And so with this joint venture with the
Lucasfilms.
With Lucasfilms and the Navajo Nation Museum, they dubbed A New Hope into Navajo.
Awesome.
And then a couple years after that, so this next article comes from 2016, the second movie dubbed into Navajo.
2016, it's Disney, another Disney movie. So 2016 Disney movie was... Finding
Frozen.
Dory. Finding Dory.
Finding Nemo. So close.
Okay.
But yeah, so Star Wars, first movie ever dubbed into Navajo.
Michael, that's super interesting.
I thought so too.
I would be interested to know how they translated certain words for like spaceship and with it, like Star Destroyer. Was that, and you probably don't know this because it's a very
what
specific
is the Navajo term actually, for Star Destroyer?
Actually, they mentioned it in the piece that translating it wasn't all that easy, mostly because. Words like droid, they struggled with. Like, how do you get that to translate?
Huh. Yeah.
And then they also said syncing the translation to the character's lip movements is crucial to the pace of the film.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right.
So it's they had all kinds of different things, and the news piece gets into that a little bit. But
I'm intrigued of how they said, may the force be with you.
So, you know, the movie industry makes a lot of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what other industry makes a lot of money?
Hmm.
Tourism.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Specifically, international tourism. The World Tourism Organization, the UNWTO, just recently released their most up-to-date report, which is for the calendar year of 2018, but it was released in 2019 kind of thing.
That was recently.
I look for the 2020, but such a thing does not yet exist. So my question for you is, which country received the most tourists?
Oh, so this is just by person, not money?
I have money too, but I figured.
And they're different.
They are different, yes.
Country, and this is just over 2019?
This is just during the calendar year of 2018.
Okay.
Well, you got the big ones. I mean, the United States, it's a large country, so just by volume, I would feel like it would be very high in terms of tourists coming. This is foreign tourists. What
yes,
you're saying.
Yes.
So
yes.
International visitors.
Yes.
But I feel like that's one, too obvious of an answer. And two, they just put out travel warnings and things about the U.S. So
yep.
I feel like most places aren't really traveling that
but,
far.
Right. But this is a 2018 report.
True.
So
that's
they
true.
Just put out a travel warning.
Well, I think they put it out a couple of years ago. Okay. I don't remember when exactly it was.
And I don't know the specific visa process, but I imagine that's a somewhat complicated thing. So I'd be thinking about countries maybe where, like, this isn't my answer, but like Costa Rica, I know is very easy to get a tourist visa.
Yes. Well, Costa Rica, not on the list.
Well, you don't need a visa if you're just staying for a very short period of time for most places. In the U.S., too, I don't think you need you don't have to apply to just say hello.
Yeah.
There's a couple.
The time period.
I think a couple countries. I'm pretty sure we needed one to go to Cambodia a while back.
Literally, my brother just took a trip to Southeast Asia.
Right.
And had to reroute his flight from Cambodia. Originally, it was Cambodia to Vietnam to Hawaii to get back into the States. And he had to rewrite from Cambodia to Japan because he flip-flopped month and day on his tourist visa.
Yep.
And the counter agent in Cambodia was like, yeah, you're not getting on this plane because they won't let you off it.
Right.
So he definitely needed to have like a valid tourism permit in place in order to just get into the airport to catch a connecting flight in Vietnam. Yeah.
Dang. Yeah, I don't know a lot of things, I guess. but again, welcome to the We Don't Know Either podcast, because that's my role.
And thank God you don't have to worry about stuff like that. I mean, when's the next time you're going to be traveling to Southeast Asia?
I guess I should do a little bit more research. But I don't think that Costa Rica is correct, to get back to the original question.
Not in the top 10.
It was merely used as a kind of, here's a place where it's very easy to get into and out of the country with minimal to no paperwork.
Yeah. I feel still, though, my gut is saying United States, but my gut has proven me wrong already on this podcast, and it will prove me wrong again.
Sure.
But I still feel like in terms of sheer volume of number of people, I still think it's the United States.
Okay. So Lindsay's locking in with here.
Okay.
That's boring, so why would you be asking that? Maybe it's Canada. I don't know.
Canada, not on the list.
All I'm hearing there is United States is somewhere on the list.
That is correct.
But somehow I don't think it's correct.
I don't think it's correct either. I'm going to say Australia.
Australia? That's a good guess.
Yeah. I don't have any basis for that.
Okay.
The answer is obvious. Wait. It's got to be France. It's got to be France.
Why?
Oh.
Paris. Everybody goes to Paris. Okay. And honestly, you know how my logic train went down this? I was like, Australia. And then I thought of Risk and how when you're in Risk and you just bunker down into Australia, no one visits you because you're off in the corner of the world. So if I'm playing Risk, Europe is kind of the worst one to be, or Asia, obviously, because there's all those different countries and you got a lot of borders. That's why you get the most. If you hold it for the turn, we know how to play Risk. We all fight about it. Don't want to get into it. So where in Europe would most people visit? It would be Paris and it would be France.
I have a just kind of out there guess from a little thing. Is it Korea by any chance because of the Olympics in 2018?
It is not.
Okay.
Oh, man. He sounded like it was.
He gave me that eyebrow raise and the head up and down. I was like, I think I nailed it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say France then.
I'm sticking with Australia.
So the correct answer with 89 million people is France.
Hey.
The largest percentage of those people going to Paris. So, Lindsay, you absolutely nailed it on your third guess.
First of all, second guess. And high five. I got co-collaborated in both my fact correctness today. It was first from you, and then Michael leading me down the Risk Australia path to logic my way through it.
Yep.
That was absolutely my intention.
Australia, not on the list.
Okay.
And United States came in at number 3 at 80 million people. Second on the list at 83 million people is Spain.
Oh.
So, right there next to France. They just share people back and forth, probably.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, right? Because the borders are so close. So
yep.
I get that. I hear
now,
you.
Now, bonus fact.
Bonus.
How? Which country earns the most money from tourism?
Paris. No, that's not a country.
It's not a country.
Paris is definitely not a country.
France is number 3 on the list. They get 67 billion in U.S. dollars. $67 billion worth of tourism into the country. Number 2 on the list is Spain at $74 billion. Number 1 on the list?
USA?
USA.
USA. $214 billion. So it is 3 times more than the number 2 country on the list.
Yeah, wow.
And funnily enough, the number 1 country per capita, the most money made per person that they bring in, Luxembourg.
Mm.
Sure, all 7 of them.
And Australia.
Oh, okay.
Is number 2 on the list. Both of them are around $4,900 per person is what they bring in. So.
Well, wow. Huh.
See, I did so much research on that. I had so much information.
Yeah, Nick, I'm very impressed with you.
Thank you.
Wow. I hope Chris is proud.
I did that for Chris. Yeah.
I'm so proud. Also, I think "I did that for Chris" should be our secret phrase.
Done.
Done.
"I did that for Chris." Not only are you getting a shout out, but you're getting the secret phrase. I hope you play trivia this week or it would be awkward. I did.
I hope he just listens. Yeah. I'd love to be like Chris's coworker. I'm like, "Did you listen to the podcast? They talked about you a bunch." He went, "What?"
And you know what? I will give one exemption to that. Mm-hmm. Chris, if you do play trivia this week, you can say, "I did that for me."
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. "I did that for Chris." That's your secret phrase, Michael.
"I did that for Chris."
"I did that for Chris."
Cool. Well, my segue, we're talking about places. We're talking about a 3-hour tour.
Oh, here we go.
And I'm going to say that I'm going to start this journey with official state songs, and I'm going to end it with Gilligan's Island. So come aboard on this journey with me, and I swear it'll take slightly less than 3 hours.
All right. We are currently 15 minutes into the episode recording. You have 6.
Yes.
Go.
All right. So here we go. I would like to know from you both which two people are the only two people to have co-wrote 2 official state songs. So the one you're not going to get probably, but you should be able to get the other one. So that is my question to you. So there are 2 people that have written or co-written state official songs, and I'd like to know who those people are.
I got a guess, but I'm not sure all of my facts line up.
I really want to just get this right and just knock Lindsay's whole thing.
No, you should. I said you should be able to get this. Right. I will say this.
I have a really good guess.
They're official state songs.
Yes.
They are officially official.
Got it.
I have 2 problems with my guess.
Uh-huh.
1, I'm not sure the song is the official state song.
Sure.
2, I'm not sure the artist I'm thinking of actually wrote the song I'm thinking of.
Okay.
So I'm thinking Rodgers and Hammerstein.
That's exactly
for
what I was
Oklahoma.
Thinking. Yes, and there's probably another one in there.
Okay. That is incorrect.
Okay.
Now, am I correct that Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote Oklahoma?
Yes.
Okay. And is Oklahoma the state song of Oklahoma?
Yes.
Okay. So my logic tracks and I feel much better about myself now.
Yes. But I mean, I was sure of that information. So that's why I was more sure than you.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So which two
guesses?
People? T.I. and somebody else.
No. Well, I'll give you the first guy, Stephen Foster, a.k.a. the father of American music. So he wrote a few songs, My Old Kentucky Home.
John Denver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Stephen Collins Foster and John Denver are the only two people that have co-written or written 2 official state songs. So give me the 2 songs from John Denver.
Country Roads immediately. No.
No.
No, that's not right.
I would assume Denver.
Denver's not a state, much as Paris is not a country.
I will tell you that "Take Me Home, Country Roads" is an official state song of West Virginia.
Oh,
okay.
There so that
go.
Is one of
but
them.
But that's not John Denver,
West
is it?
West Virginia. Yeah,
he co-wrote it.
Oh,
yeah.
So I was right there.
He co-wrote it, actually.
Okay, and then so the other one.
So what's the other John Denver song?
I'm not so big on John Denver.
Well, this was written in 1973, and it was adopted as this state song on March 12th, 2007.
Did he write My Old Kentucky Home?
No, that was Stephen Foster. That was
you
the other
You said that
dude.
Already, right?
That was the other music
there's,
dude.
There's a reason that information's in my head. Is it because you just said it?
Yes.
Okay.
You are correct.
Then I got nothing. I can't help you.
Okay. I'll give you a hint that this state, that song, is it's official for. Those words were out of order, but you still got what I meant.
Yep.
Colorado.
Oh,
isn't that what I said?
I said Denver, didn't I?
You said Denver.
Mm-hmm. And I was ignoring you until you came back to Colorado, to be honest. He's banging his head up against the wall.
Oh, thank God it's padded.
So do you know the song?
It's
Michael.
Is it Rocky Top? Am I getting that right?
It is very close to that. It's Rocky Mountain High.
Rocky Mountain High.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain High by John Denver. So those are the 2 songs. Rocky Mountain High, one of the official songs of Colorado, and Take Me Home, Country Roads, one of the 4 official state songs for West Virginia. It's became the theme song, as you know, for West Virginia football. They've performed it at every home football game since 1972.
Calm down, West Virginia. You don't need 4 state songs.
They have a lot of state songs. So, Nick, you're like, Lindsay, how in the world is this fact going to relate to Gilligan's Island?
Because what's Gilligan's name? It's Bob Denver, right?
Bob Denver. Not related, but a great guess.
Yeah.
Bob Denver's wife, Dreema, a native to West Virginia. So her and Gilligan moved back to West Virginia in the 90s.
When they got off the island?
When they got off the island, yeah. They went back to West Virginia, became philanthropists, you know, very active, involved in the community and building up West Virginia. And after he passed away, she was talking to a caller on one of her radio shows. And this caller asked if Take Me Home Country Roads was the state song of West Virginia. And she's like, I don't know. Started to do research, started to dig, and realized that it wasn't. So she called her local representative.
We got to fix that.
Exactly what she said. We got to fix that. Called her local representative. It didn't pass the first time. And she said, I'm going to be here and, you know, working on this until it passes. So
right.
2014 officially passed. And now Take Me Home Country Roads is an official state song of West Virginia. Thanks to Dreema,
Gilligan's wife.
Dreema Denver, right. No relation to John Denver.
That was very circuitous, Lindsay.
That is a big word.
Just a quick thing, too. When I said Rocky Top, that was obviously a reference to Tennessee and not Colorado.
Well,
the more I thought about the song, it's definitely Rocky Top,
something
Tennessee.
Wrong there, yeah.
Well, I was thinking when you said Rocky, I was like, well, you're close in the sense that it's the same word.
I was trying to get there, and I was like, Rocky Top. No, that's not it.
There's a top of a mountain. It's a Rocky Mountain. It's close enough.
Yeah.
And, Nick, I'll give you one more bonus Take Me Home Country Roads fact.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually has a DC tie-in, and two of the song's co-writers, in addition to John Denver, are from DC, Maryland, Virginia area, and they connected with John Denver at a club they were opening for him way back in the 70s, and Bill Daniff, one of the writers of Take Me Home Country Roads, was inspired specifically by a road in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Really?
Yeah, so Clopper...
There are no inspiring roads in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Not anymore.
Uh-huh.
So Clopper Road...
Clopper Road still exists. The MVA is on Clopper Road.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so he cites the inspiration as Clopper Road in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and when he actually wrote Take Me Home Country Roads, he admits that he had never been to West Virginia prior to writing that song.
Okay.
And then they got together with John Denver, and they all, you know, stayed at an apartment late, and they were originally going to sell the song to Johnny Cash, and then
right.
John Denver was like, no, I must have
this
song.
This, yeah.
And he worked with them to rewrite it, and there was a part of the moment where it was almost going to be Massachusetts because it had a similar number of syllables,
uh-huh.
and ended up being West Virginia, and now it's a state song.
Oh, that's kind of right, cool. Then. I think it does not speak well of Gaithersburg, Maryland, that somebody went to Gaithersburg, Maryland and goes, you know what this reminds me of? What I think West Virginia is.
No, I think that's a compliment to how beautiful the road was and how beautiful West Virginia is. It's a mountain state.
Must be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're going to wrap up the show not by singing Take Me Home, Country Roads, because that would be bad for us and our ratings.
Take me home.
Oh, God. Okay, here we go. We're done. This has been the We Don't Know Either. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast.
To
I'm Lindsay.
Place. I'm Nick.
I'm alone. And I'm Michael.
West Virginia.
And We Don't Know Either, and we're going to stop singing. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye, Chris.
Bye.
See ya.